To Carol Wood, Lansing City Council member. Good evening, Carol. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Three different subjects, actually, I wanted to touch on with you. Are you sitting?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Well, first of all, the one it surprised me, I didn't know if it surprised council members, was Mayor Virge Bonera wanting to borrow $1 million from some Lansing reserves. And just wanted to know, if was that a surprise to you, or did you know that that this request would be coming?
Well, normally we have an end-of-the-year budget adjustments that need to be made. But no, we did not know that he was going to be asking to use $1 million from reserves. As you're well aware of, May 16th, we passed the budget. And at that time, we had talked about the potential of using some reserves to make sure that we kept police officers. There was no discussion at that time to say, well, the reason I don't want to use reserves is because I'm going to have to use some to balance the budget at the end of the year. So it did come as a surprise to us.
So this money won't be used, as far as you know, to try to save some of these 44 police jobs, these layoffs we're talking about. He's looking at it for basic budget issues.
Correct. And at the end of... And sometimes periodically through the year, if the budget revenues projected that are coming in come in a shortfall from what they thought they were, we make budget adjustments. And usually at the end of the year, because we have what's called a vacancy factor, it's actually a place that we collect money from employees that we have not hired, from positions that we have funded for those, and whether it's through the fact of retirements or people leaving, and instead of maybe hiring someone at the beginning of our fiscal year, you might wait 3 months before you do it, or at the end of the fiscal year, you have somebody leaving and you don't fill that position. And normally we have to make adjustments at that time. We put the money in where someone might have spent a little bit more than what they thought they were going to budget for in their department. And so those are normal adjustments that are made. But this is now the third budget with a matter of using either budget reserves or budget stabilization that we've had to take care of at the end of the year and to balance the budget.
How is this sitting with you?
Well, you know, I think the thing that, for me, is the biggest concern is we rely on the projections that we're given when we start a budget cycle. When we look at this and we get the information, trying to ask questions, are you sure you think you're going to collect this much in property tax? Are you sure you think you're going to collect this in fines and forfeitures? I mean, we go through this, you know, long process, and hopefully when we get this, we hope that they have reviewed enough data to bring us the best projections that they can. And again, this is the third budget that we've had 3 years in a row now that we've had to either dip into reserves or and now into the rainy day fund. And so, you know, the question always, you always beg to ask the question, now, why do you keep falling short? What is it that you're doing in the projections? And isn't it better to be more conservative in those than thinking that we're going to get something that we're not going to get?
Moving on to another topic, the medical marijuana ordinance, and I, you know, we've talked about this several times. I'm going to approach it a little differently in that,
okay, good.
And I think you'll like this, in that what we want to talk about today is that the tomorrow night folks, the public can meet and give their input on the draft policy that you're working with now.
Mm-hmm. The reason that we called this special meeting is actually at our last committee meeting, a number of people from the community and neighborhoods weighed in and said, you know, the time that you're having these meetings, even though it's late in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, by the time we get off work and get and try to get here, the meeting is over with, and we haven't been able to voice some of our concerns and some of our issues. So I said, well, absolutely, we want to hear from you. So what if we plan to have one in at a community center where you can get there after work, and then we can hear what some of your issues are to this. Again, this is a draft, and we do have the ability at during this process to make changes to it and try to make sure that it meets some of the issues that the public is raising. We received some letters from the Catholic Diocese that are concerned about the grandfathering clause that's in the ordinance. We've heard from a number of people on the east side that are concerned about proliferation of them on the east side and the work that they've done to try to revitalize that Saginaw corridor and what they believe in their minds that the number of them that they have here, what it says to the public. And so we want to hear some of their suggestions and see what they want to do.
Well, I think it's an excellent idea. The moratorium ends on July 1st, so now is the time. Right. 6 p.m. meeting tomorrow at the Foster Community Center, 200 North Foster Avenue. The one other thing I wanted to touch on with you, Carol, is you and I had a few minutes to speak yesterday, I guess it was, and we talked about, you asked about my having Sarah Metz on, a communications professional who'd gone on a ride-along with the Lansing Police Department, and we talked about that interview and what were your thoughts about the ride along and kind of how it opened her eyes?
Well, the citizens always have an opportunity to ride along with our police officers, and one time we had a police academy and we try a civilian academy, and we try to offer that every year so that people can see what it is to be a police officer and why when they make a stop they make it in a certain way and how they approach a car and all these things that help to open the eyes of the public when you drive by and see something and you think, boy, I wish they wouldn't have done that. And when you understand more of the details, then you can understand why they did. I think it's extremely important when you have the community out there seeing it through somebody else's. I've seen it through the officer that's pulling up on the scene of a crime. You're wondering why you haven't seen an officer ride through your neighborhood, and when you hear that they are responding from call to call to call, and then on top of it, they're writing their reports. It's not like they turn in a ticket book or a notebook and have someone transcribe all of that into a report. They're required to do that on top of answering the phone calls, and those reports have to be done in such a precise manner that they'll hold up in court, that they'll be able to get warrants from them. And I think people don't understand, sometimes when they see a police officer sitting on the side of the road, why is that? Or when you see two or three of them together, you know, sometimes it's going over issues that they just came from a call from. And
well, I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm up against
That's
a break
okay.
here. Carol, I appreciate your thoughts on that subject as well as all of them, and I always love your perspective. Thank you so much, and I'll look forward to hearing about the meeting.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Carol Woodland.